I think the ease of entering the sport, once you get your head around the classes, the handicaps, what classes they can enter, pretty much if you can ride a horse, you can ranch short.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that there's an opportunity for people to be successful against riders of their own ability. So that's the unique class structure and the handicap. So where there's a lot of sports that it's only for the elite, this sport,
it's for everyone.
For everyone. And yeah, it gives so many opportunities. Like, you can compete on a local, national, international level, and there's a place for you.
Yeah.
Whatever your goals are.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey. This episode of The Ride is brought to you by Tribute Equine Nutrition. You know that kind of ride where your horse is with you every step of the way, solid, willing, and ready to work. At Tribute Equine Nutrition, we show up as that kind of partner, and it's what drives us to keep improving. We're upgrading our entire line with advanced formulations to better support your horse's health, performance, and longevity so that they can keep showing up for you day after day. To celebrate, we're hiding golden tickets in select bags, each one worth 40 free bags of feed, about a year's supply for one horse. Ready to step up your feeding program? Visit TributeEquineNutrition.com for a free personalized feeding plan. If you're new to Tribute, your first bag is on us, and everything we make is backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. Mention that Horse and Rider sent you.
Welcome back to The Ride. I'm your host, Emily Carey, and today we are taking Ranch Shorting International. Joining me is Cindy Henderson, who leads the Australian affiliation of the Cinch RSNC. Over the past several years, Cindy has helped grow the sport of ranch shorting across Australia while creating opportunities for competitors to qualify for and compete at the Cinch RSNC World Finals right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Today, we're talking about how ranch shorting got its start in Australia, how the sport continues to grow, and what it takes for Australian competitors to make the journey halfway around the world to compete on ranch shorting's biggest stage. Cindy, welcome to The Ride.
Thank you, Emily.
So for ranch shorters who are listening, tell us about your background with horses and how you got involved in ranch shorting.
Okay, well, my background's quite different to a lot of people in the horse industry. So I didn't start riding until I was 40. We went along to a ranch sort and they were taking entries on the day. Prior to that, I had 6 lessons on a pleasure horse with some friends of ours, because my daughter used to show Western Pleasure in English. They were taking entries on the day, and my husband and my daughter and the people who were there, we looked like they were having so much fun that I said, I'm going to have a go at that tomorrow. And my husband looked at me and it was like, that's like, he had a smile and he was happy, but he was like, oh, what are we going to put her on? Because
you dove right in.
Yeah, I did dive right in. And I rode with my daughter, and he got one cow out. And it was like I'd won the Olympics. I was so happy and I was hooked. It was so much fun. And that's where my love for ranch shorting started.
Awesome. And so, you know, starting from a clinic, from those couple rides, you went ahead and, you know, grew an organization. What did some of those early days look like of starting an association and, you know, doing your own independent thing?
It was a steep learning curve. But I had come from a management background prior and used to running a business with my husband. So I sort of had the foundation there to set it up. But I found that probably the biggest thing to learn was more about the horse industry and the people.
How did you grow from just going to a clinic, you know, relatively new to horses, new to the sport? How did you take that experience and think, hey, let's go independent, start our own association? What did that look like?
So when we first started, I came from a management background, and I used to running a business with my husband. So I had that foundation. What it was that I enjoyed so much about the ranch sorting was the flexibility to be able to run something from home. But my main goal was, once I had that experience, was to make others have that experience. I believe that, you know, families that play together, stay together. So that was a big thing for me. But also, I've got to say, Dave Wolfe was a massive reference for me. We worked quite closely in getting it up and running. In 2020, when we went independent, I already had the knowledge of how the software system worked. So that was a big advantage. It was just a matter of adapting a database to suit for the Australian competitors. So it was, I'm not going to say it was relatively easy, but it was something that came natural.
Yeah, and can you walk us through that timeline? And we were talking earlier and you mentioned, you know, your husband's a huge help with this. Walk us through that timeline and the people who were with you on that journey to becoming an independent association.
Okay. So in 2015, Dave Kaysen and Logan came out to Australia and did a clinic, one in Tamworth, one in Dubbo. My husband and daughter and our friends were doing one at Dubbo. We loved it so much that we became a producer. We were the second producer to sign on, and that was Ranchlording Dubbo at that point. And we were in there with the Egan family. That went through pretty much a couple of producers came on board under the previous affiliation. And then once we went independent, we grew so much with the producers. So now we have about a dozen producers. But throughout that time, we went through a process where we were with a prior organisation. We went independent 2020 with the partners that we had at the time. Then we just went independent again, same brand but same entity, and that's where we've continued. So they were instrumental in it as well, but it just felt that it wasn't going to grow. There was a few walls we were hitting along the way, and it was detrimental to the sport. So the choice was made, okay, let's do what we've got to do to make this happen. And we really wanted to have everybody to have a positive experience. And since then, I feel that it was the best move. There are about 12 producers, like I said, at this time in Australia. Western Australia is going gangbusters, which is great. And we're looking at getting some other ones on board. But some people that have been instrumental, I've got to say, we've got Ben Lawrence and Cody Barwick, Dawn Barwick. They have been massive help along the way. They're horse trainers, but Ben was also, in our early days, was there being Lonnie's right-hand man. Because, yes, Lonnie and I might head the association, but at the end of the day, you don't grow anything without a team. Mm-hmm. And they are so valuable. They're great people. They jump in wherever we need them to jump in. Obviously, when you're running a ranch, the cattle is a massive part of that. And they've learned along the way the computer system, cattle tagging, anything that's involved basically from start to finish, they've learned along the way with us, which has been fantastic. And now it's sort of at a point where if I need to be out of the equation for whatever reason, Cody can jump in and she could run a show without me. And there's also other producers as well, obviously, that we have. But these are the guys that we've worked quite closely with. Ben helps Lonnie tremendously with anything that needs to be done. And, you know, I have to give them credit too. And what people probably don't see is these are unpaid roles. These are roles that we're doing for the love of the sport. Mm-hmm. It's the people, it's the sport, yeah. It's the whole community that we're trying to build. And our goal for ranch sorting is to be the sport that people come to because they want to have fun on a weekend, they want to make friends, they want to be supported, they want to be encouraged. And one thing we find from people that are coming over from different disciplines is, wow, everybody's so friendly. And that's one thing that we found as well, that really brought us into the sport, but also the opportunities that presents for families. Mm-hmm. I feel it's pretty unique.
Yeah.
When you can have grandchildren riding with grandparents and husbands and wife running together, which I must say doesn't always go to plan. But hey, it's all part of, we'll say it's character building.
Absolutely.
But you know, it's, there's so many opportunities for people which we love and we want to instill in the community.
Yeah, and so you just touched on it. You know, you've grown to at least a dozen producers. It's still growing. It means there's a lot of sorters. What has been, you know, one of the biggest drivers of growth?
I think the ease of entering the sport. Once you get your head around the classes, the handicaps, what classes they can enter, pretty much if you can ride a horse, you can ranch short.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that there's an opportunity for people to be successful against riders of their own ability. So that's the unique class structure and the handicap. So where there's a lot of sports that it's only for the elite, this sport,
it's for everyone.
For everyone. And it gives so many opportunities. Like, you can compete on a local, national, international level, and there's a place for you.
Yeah.
Whatever your goals are.
Yeah, and I came from not this background, but coming in here, yeah, everyone has been so friendly and welcoming, and it is an incredible sport because you do have all those levels of riders who are right there supporting each other and riding with one another and boosting each other up. It's a very, very cool sport.
Yeah, and I always say that I think we all have an important part to play in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just at the top of the association, it needs to be across the association so everybody's working for the same goal.
Yeah, so I'm sure with how long you've been involved and, you know, spearheading all of this, you've seen some pretty big milestones along the way.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
I've got to say, for Australia, our national finals that we just ran in April was a big milestone for me. It highlighted where we can come in such a, well, relatively short period of time.
Yeah.
Because it's been, what, 5-6 years now. And although our numbers were still, well, they were just lower than what they were last year, our riders were up.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought Josh Staggs out from over here to announce for us. We ran Challenge of the Champions to highlight the riders' success. And just the feeling, the camaraderie, the atmosphere, recognising the achievements of these riders, it made it really special. And from all reports that we've had, it was the best finals ever.
That's great. Congratulations. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And so talking about finals, we are recording this right now during the Cinch RSNC World Finals here in Fort Worth, Texas. And you guys, Australia, brought over quite a few riders. What does that process look like, you know, coming over here to sort?
it's a big process. Basically, throughout the year, for people to qualify for the RSNC World Finals, they need to compete at 5 shows in Australia, which predominantly the riders that come over here compete a lot, so that's not a problem. Then the biggest challenge that we have is the horses and securing horses to ride over here. But mm-hmm. we have been lucky with the trainers that have come on board and the contacts that we have now to be able to get horses for riders. I would say the biggest challenge with that is matching the horse to the rider.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, look, the trainers over here are fantastic. And the adaptability of the riders has been great.
Yeah,
we're
so
fortunate with that.
Yeah, so for our listeners who don't know, you guys, you fly over, don't bring horses. How long do you guys get over here to try to learn new horses, or what does that process look like?
We try and come a week earlier than the World Finals, and we mm-hmm. have done prior years. Some riders, though, don't have that ability, with work commitments, so they might fly in just before, so they'll only get to ride that horse
right beforehand.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they'll do a few laps around and in the warm-up arena and then go in and ride on cattle. So they really do have to just embrace the experience and just, you know, do what they do.
Yeah. And at least what's lovely about all these ranch sorting horses and these trainers, like, they are so well trained. They know their jobs so well.
Yeah. And that's a big thing over here is the caliber of your horses is way more than what a lot of our horses are back home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great experience for people to feel that horse, like feel what it feels like to ride on a horse like that. It's very impressive.
Well, can we talk a little more about that? Like, what are some of the differences, you know, between United States ranch sorting and Australia ranch sorting?
A lot of it's quite similar, as in the class structures. Well, we run under the same rules, same software, same handicap system. The biggest change would be the level of riding.
Okay.
So over here, you have to compete with a lot more riders, so therefore you progress through the rating system probably a little bit slower than what we do back home.
Okay.
Because back home, you're competing against a much smaller pool of competitors. So we find that perhaps your twos are probably more like threes back home.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a challenge. But look, I've got to say, we've had Michaela Jackson, who is a number two rated rider, compete this week in the number eights class, and she's got through with Billy Nell from Australia through to the top 10. So,
awesome.
In saying that, the handicap system, the adaptability of the riders, it all just works.
Yeah, that's super cool. Do you, you know, as you're growing your membership over there, like, what kind of competitors are you guys really, like, drawn in and getting involved? Is it a lot of youth, or is it just kind of families? What's going on over there?
Yeah, so I would say it's more families that are coming through the sport. We would love to see more beginners get involved. So that's going to be a focus this year with, like, clinics, trying to get people into the sport from that grassroots level, because obviously they're the people that are going to build the association. We find that there's a lot of families that want to become involved because their child gets involved. So we have introduced this year the Peewee class. It's a non-sanctioned. Generally, we start riders from 6 years of age up that get to start competing in the beginner youth ranch hand. But this year we've introduced the Peewee class simply because there's so many younger kids that are on the sidelines that want to be involved. And we let them come in and lead them and just give them some cattle experience.
Yeah.
Some of the riders might be have the ability to come in and ride independently, and that's great too. So that then gets the families involved.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity for the little ones to get hooked and continue on.
That's it, and just that skill. So when they do start competing, they're already experienced, and they're not going to get daunted by the whole experience of you know, buzzers going and flags and cattle and. You know, there's so much going on for them.
It can be very overwhelming. I was extremely overwhelmed watching from the sidelines.
Oh, really?
At my first ranch sorting. My first ranch sorting was this World Finals last year, and I was like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what it'd be like for a child. So that's a great opportunity. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think if we could start doing some clinics, more clinics this year, trying to get people in. We have had the last couple of years at the national finals, we do a youth auction.
Okay.
And the money that goes from that is for youth development. So we pass that on to our producers to run clinics themselves within their areas, because the producers are the ones in that area that understand, you know, what is going to work.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously we help facilitate that so we can get some more youth involved. But I think the adults need to be on notice, because these kids that are coming through, like, it's amazing to see the level of riding from when they come into the sport and, you know, actually start competing as such from 6 years. We see a few of them now that are now getting to the, you know, 14 years of age.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see how well these kids are riding.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But also it's pretty cool to see from an adult's perspective. We had six riders, I think, well, six or seven riders in the Hall of Fame inductees this year for the 25,000. Mm-hmm. So, and for the bronze, and we've had two riders come in for the 50,000.
Yeah, the silver. That's super awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations to those riders. They put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
They certainly are. And they're, you know, following the shows, mm-hmm. doing what they can. So there's a, I suppose that just highlights those that want to chase achievements like that, they can. But those that want to just come along and compete on a local level and just get involved, they can too.
Yeah, opportunities for every level of competitor. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's super inspiring for all those, you know, competitors who are looking up to these guys who are, you know, to our Hall of Fame inductees, to the competitors who are over here at the World Finals. I'm sure that's such a big inspiration for them to want to go out and chase those points and chase that money to get here one day.
Yes, definitely, 100%.
Yeah. How many riders did Australia send to this event, to the World Finals?
This year we've got six competitors. Previous years we've had probably 19, thereabouts. But I've got to say, Australia's hurting at the moment. It really is, with financially, like with interest rates and all that sort of stuff. So next year will be a much bigger year. We've already got people saying they're coming next year. And because it's a massive expense for people to come to World Finals.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing, and that's something I should touch on, because, you know, by the time you pay for your airfares, your accommodation, your horse leasing, the whole travel experience.
And that's before you even get here for entry fees and living expenses here.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's a lot. So that's not something people can do each year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so ones that have been previously, you definitely want to come back because it's such an awesome experience here. But hopefully next year there'll be more than there'll be more.
Yeah, and already, you know, even with a shorter group, you guys are finding so much success this show already. You mentioned, you know, you had two riders make it to the top 10 in the finals.
Yeah, and we had Ellen Adams also in the youth all levels.
Yeah, so several finals rounds.
Yeah.
How is the show going for y'all so far? And we're talking like Thursday, you know, we're over the halfway point, getting towards the end. How is it?
It's going great. Everybody's having such a fun time, and they've been successful. We've had quite a few riders make it through to second and third go rounds, not quite getting through to the top tens. But that in itself is a massive achievement when you're looking at how many people are in the classes.
Yeah, we are seeing insane class numbers. Mm-hmm. 700 teams in a class the other day. And you guys are also, you know, at even more, you know, a step back, essentially. That's not the right word, but, you know, a little further behind because you're borrowing horses that you're not familiar with. It's a completely different ballgame for y'all, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just so, you know, I get inspired by the riders that come over here that do it. We've got a lady here this year, Lois. She was a last-minute entrant. She mm-hmm. decided to come a week out from finals, and she's like, can we do it? And I'm like, yeah, we can make this happen. And she's over 70. And
wow.
she's come over
That's
the
awesome.
Other side of the world. She's competing on a horse she's never, you know, competed on. A little bit of a nervous rider. So for her to put that aside and go and compete in two classes.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm sure it's such a big milestone in memory, you know, for that, regardless of how many times they come here. I'm sure every experience, every World Finals is like a new one. It's just new memories, new achievements every year.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And it also... It also gives them a bit of drive when they go back home as well to go, well, I've seen the level of riding over there. And I feel that that's probably been instrumental in the growth in Australia with the horsemanship as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they come over here and see how everybody rides, and they want to take that back and they want to, you know, work on what they're doing.
Yeah. And now, what part of Australia are you based in? I know you mentioned earlier that, like, the Western Australia is, like, taken off. How broad is ranch shorting in Australia?
So I'm situated in eastern Australia, and so in New South Wales is where it started, and we've got New South Wales, we've got a producer in Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, and we've actually just last week had our first event in the Northern Territory.
Awesome. Yeah. And Australia is a lot bigger than people realize. So that's no easy feat.
No, it's not. So for the guys to come to the Wolf, to the national final, from Western Australia, for them it's about a 3 to 4 week process. It's 7 days. You can do it in less time, but not when you're hauling horses.
So. Wait, it's 3 to 4 weeks to drive?
Well, no. So okay. It's about a week to get there.
Okay.
And then you've got to, they normally have like a bit of downtime there before we kick off the final. They're there for a week. Prior to finals, we usually have we bring Dave Schaffner over from the States and we get clinics done. We have a pre-show. Then they're there for the week of finals and then they have to go and drive back again.
That's so, like a full month's commitment.
Pretty much. It's massive. So this year wasn't as big with the Western Australians, but the 2 years prior were massive. And they're like, we come back next year. We just got to have this year off. So we get super excited when we see those guys. It's always fun. And it's great that they make that commitment to come over. It's a big, massive effort.
Massive. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's intense.
But even for us to drive to the Queensland one on the same side of Australia, it's 9-hour drive.
Australia's way bigger than people give it credit for.
it's for us, it's at least probably 3-4 hours. Probably 4 hours is maybe average for people to get to the sorts.
Okay. So that's quasi comparable to us over here, I believe.
Yeah, it just depends on how much they want to travel and how much they want to chase it.
Exactly, absolutely. And talk to me a little bit more about the RSNCA World Finals.
So, national
finals. Sorry,
no,
sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. So, national finals will. It's a process that sort of starts about November each year for me with the planning of it, and we. You know, with the ordering of the prizes, the setting of the program, making sure that we've got enough judges and people to help with the back end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It would take from November through till finals.
There's a lot that goes into producing an event. Yeah. I had Tanner Spurl on the podcast not too long ago, and we went through everything that happens to get this thing going. And there's a lot that goes into producing an event that a lot of people don't see.
There is, 100%. But at the end of the day, the end goal is to make sure that all the competitors are coming that are having fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're making memories, they're feeling great. For them to come along and have an amazing experience and then they leave and then you get that feedback, that's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, at the end of the day, you feel like the job's been done well.
Yeah.
It's not something that I take lightly, and my husband, like, we always, any decision that you're making is how's this going to affect the overall community. Mm-hmm. It's not just one person here or one person there, it's an overall. And national finals is a combination of all of those decisions and all of those actions that we've taken throughout the year. And the producers do a fantastic job of running events, the quality events. We want to make sure that when people come along, the events are run well, they're professional, they're run on time,
it's all about giving a good member experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. 100%.
So looking ahead, Cindy, what are some of your goals for ranch shorting in Australia over like the next 5 years? What are some goals?
The next 5 years, I'd like to see it grow at least by, in 5 years, if we said 30%, I feel that could be achievable. It's going to take a lot of different programs that we will introduce throughout the time. Definitely following in RSNC's footsteps, because they've already written the rule. You know, they're writing the book, and having them on board is brilliant because we can learn from their achievements and things that work well, things that don't work so well. And having that close relationship with them has definitely helped along the way. It's funny that where we've got to now is already so much more than what I thought we would achieve in 5 years.
That's awesome.
But look, I've got to give credit to my husband Lonnie too, because he'll come up with an idea, and he doesn't do the back end of the shows, so he doesn't do the computer or any of that sort of stuff other than judging occasionally and running it on the day. But he'll come up with an idea, and it's a great idea. I just got to put it into practice.
You have to execute it all.
So we quite often come up with, you know, out there ideas. Just throwing ideas around, or he'll say, hey, I've been thinking about doing this. And so who knows what's in store for the next 5 years, I suppose, in that respect. But I feel that we've already achieved so much, and I feel that by achieving that already, what we can do in the next 5 years will be definitely a member focus.
Yeah.
But also, we've got to make sure that whatever we put in place, there's longevity there for the association.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our goal really is to not only make sure that, you know, the competitors are looked after, and that's the main thing. We also look after our sponsors. We look after those that help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you said, just said about Tanner, with saying how much goes on behind the scenes. There are so many people there that jump in to help that, you know, they don't get recognised because they just jump in on a weekend and, you know, they might be in a completely different location to where we're at. But credit where credit's due, these things don't come together without a team.
Absolutely.
And we're fortunate to have those on board. But we want to make sure that those people are looked after. As in, when I say looked after, I mean like feeling like they're appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just a meal that we offer them.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, you know, it does. It's just the little things, but it's about making people feel included. And I feel if we can put all of that together, then the association is going to keep growing. And at the end of the day, that's the main goal.
Absolutely. And where can people find out more about the RSMCA? And do you guys have a website, social media?
We do. So if they jump onto ranchsorting.com.au.
.au, okay.
.au, put the AU on the end. That'll take them through to the Australian website. They can jump on there, they can join, they can see our producer list to see how they can get involved. Any of our producers are happy to help them get started. But if not, my number's on there, always happy to have a chat, or my email address, so jump on there and happy to help them get started. And we do have social media we hit quite hard with the RSNCA Facebook page. We tend to be more so on Facebook, but we do have
Instagram too.
Instagram is there also.
Perfect. Let me just give you guys a like and follow. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Thank you. Yeah, jump on and follow.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about all things ranch sorting. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This episode of The Ride is brought to you by Tribute Equine Nutrition. Thank you guys for tuning into The Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.